Father God, these are your words. You spoke them long ago. And yet your word is living and continues to speak. And I think that we need to hear this message. It is amazing that you continue to speak to our hearts. You have put your spirit within us. And Lord, some of us need to hear these words. We need to hear it when we're young. We need to hear it when we're old. We need to hear it at every stage of life in between. That you are the one who is carrying us. You have brought us forth from the womb, and you will carry us till our hair is gray and our days are coming to an end. God, grant us the kind of faith that will rest in your strong arms. Please let your spirit be a blessing to us this morning. Those of us who are weak and about to give up, those of us who are discouraged and we need strong support, those of us who are wounded and hurt in ways that only you can see, Father, I pray that you would speak into our hearts this morning. Would you let us hear? Would you remove any barrier that would keep us from hearing your word? Lord, these are things I can't do, of course. So I ask you to please come in power, and through the proclamation of your word in these few minutes, would you do a miracle? For those who are lonely, be present, Lord. And for those of us who are aching, would you grant us rest today? May all of the rest that you have promised land on us in a larger portion than we've ever experienced this morning. We need your presence, Father, and we need your strength. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So these verses come to us this morning a little bit as a surprise, but today is a special day, which we'll get into in just a few minutes. But I just want us to take a look at these couple of verses and ask a question. First of all, who's speaking? When we first look at the verse 3, who is the one who is speaking? Who says, listen to me? Who wants to get our attention? Who wants us to pause long enough to open our ears and say, speak, Lord? It's our God. God is speaking through his prophet long ago, long many ages ago, and yet we have recorded before us God's word, and here he is speaking to his people, and he says, listen to me, O house of Jacob. This word comes at a period of rebellion and a time when Israel had turned away and forsaken her God and is worshiping false gods. And yet still, God sends his prophets to capture the attention of his people and say, will you listen? There's never a time that's too late to stop and listen to the Lord. You're never too far gone or wandering or confused that you can't hear the invitation of the Lord. Will you just listen? Will you hear me? It's the invitation this morning. Will you listen? Will you expect the Lord to speak? Because he says, listen to me. Who? Who is to listen? O house of Jacob. O remnant of the house of Israel. All of God's children. All of the people to whom God has called. The descendants of Isaac and Jacob. God calls out to them and he says, I want you to listen to me. I have something to say that I want you to hear. Will you please listen? And what is it? What does he want his people to know? What does he want us to know? And look at the very next sentence. You who have been born by me from before your birth. Isn't that amazing? God is telling Israel, I have carried you from before you were born. From before your birth, I have borne you. I have carried you. I brought you forth. It's an amazing promise. The activity of the Lord is in our very formation of our bodies and souls. And so God is saying, I've carried you. I've been around. I've been involved in your life, intricately involved in your life, even before you were born. So when did God begin to love you? When did he begin to show his hand of favor towards us? It happened even before we were born. Things that we can't even see and can't even know. God is actively involved. This is the same thing that the Lord said to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, he says, Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. And I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God speaks to a man and he tells him, I know I had plans for you. I knew you before you were born. You're in my mind. I was thinking about you before you ever entered this world. And you need to know this. Why does God want us to know this? I think it's an amazing blessing to know that the God of the universe is involved in the formation of our lives. Whatever's happened to you in your life, whatever problem you have gone through, the Lord God Almighty knew and formed you before you were ever born. All of the events, the troubling, traumatic events of our lives are in the hand of a sovereign God. And this is exactly what David writes in Psalm 139. God's involvement extended to the birth. You formed me in my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. All of my inward parts, the very essence of who I am, God formed. God was involved in creating your personality, absolutely distinct and unique. Every aspect. And how does he liken this working of God? How many of you knit? It's something I've never taken up. But I've seen people knitting a lot. It seems very precise. You have to touch every thread, don't you? Isn't this a very intricate, involved process? You're sitting at home, and it's usually a pleasurable thing. I don't think people who hate knitting do it. You must love it, right? Those of you who do this. What does this connote about who God is? He is involved with every detail, every thread, every fiber of our being coming together. The Lord God Almighty has his fingers on. He's working in your life, forming you before you were born, is what David says. So God is a very hands-on God. He's very involved in the things that he creates. So you might think, well, that's just the special folk, right? It's only for the prophets. It's only for the great kings. David was a great king. It's not true for me. Little nobody. Is that true? No. The very point of God's working throughout history is to tell us he is concerned about every one of his creations. Do you know who David was? He was the youngest of 8 children. So insignificant in the eyes of his father that when Samuel came to choose a king from his sons, dad didn't even think it was worthy to call him in out of the field. And God worked in such a way to cause Samuel to ask the question, is this everybody? Well, I got a little guy out in the field, but my goodness, he's not worth anything. Samuel says, I'm not sitting down until you go and get him. And who was the one who was chosen? That was David. Little David, little no one. God has his hand on every life he forms. He is intricately involved in every process because it is easy for us to ignore people, but God does not ignore his creation. And so he is involved in every detail. Isaiah 44:2. God sees what we fail to see. And so he has to reveal these kinds of truths in his word so we will stop and remember. Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. How do we know God loves us? Didn't we just hear it? Because he helps us when I'm afraid. Is that not what was said? Something to that effect? The Lord will help us. He formed us from the womb. So these verses teach us that God is intimately involved in the beginning and the creation and the formation of every person. Every human life, and has a reason for doing what he does. And he says, I have borne you even before you were born. I've carried you, is what that means. So I've carried you along, even through the process of birth. I carried you. And then I never cease to be amazed at how the Lord speaks through his daily reading. This is the verse that came this morning in my daily reading. It's just Psalm 22. You are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. I didn't plan on using that verse. I just opened my Bible, did my reading, and that's what I saw this morning. How sweet it is for the Lord to continue to tell us that he is active. I took you from the womb, made you trust me when you were a little child. What a sweet blessing to know that God is intricately involved in our lives. And he is there, almost in this picture, looks like he's helping the delivery along, even in the process of bringing you out of the womb. God is involved in every process. And so we have to be reminded of this truth. As we see in Exodus 19, God reminds the Israelites again of this simple truth. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. I set you free from slavery in Egypt so you could get to know me. I wanted you near me, so I brought you to myself. I went after you and I got you and I brought you to myself. That's what the word of the Lord says here. So this is amazing. And we move on to another theme. This idea of being carried continues into Deuteronomy. And Moses reminds the children of Israel. And he says, remember in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carries you as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place. Carries you as a man carries a son. How many of you have ever been carried by your father? You've ever carried your child? Either one. You've carried a little child. If just think for a second, what are some reasons why? Why do we carry little children? Why is that necessary? Well, when we go hiking or long walks or long days at the mall, what happens to little tiny legs? We get weary and tired. And you've all heard it. Oh, Daddy, please carry me. Or Mommy, please carry me. These little tired legs need carrying. Are we any different adults? We think we can do it ourselves. We think we can sustain ourselves. And how many of us yet will cry out to our Father and say, can you please carry me? I need to be carried. We need to be carried when we're tired, when we're weary, when we're anxious. And what about when we're fearful? I have a son who was attacked by a little dog, a big dog, when he was little. And so for the longest time, if a dog came near, he climbed up me like a tree, and I would hold him. So when we're afraid, we need to know we're safe. So, Daddy, will you hold me? Adults, you ever get afraid? Of course you won't admit it, especially not in public. Sometimes we do, don't we? Can we run to the Lord our God and say, can you hold me? Can you please hold me? I'm afraid. When we need strength, we need to be held. When we're weary. And you know, sometimes if you're a parent, you might just pick up your kid because you love him. You just want him near you. I just enjoy it. Mine are getting almost too big to carry, so I try to carry him as often as I can. Without, they're getting so long, I bump them into walls and things like that, but it's okay. It's enjoyable to be near our children. Is our God any different? Does he not just want to draw you nearer sometimes? And there are moments when we need to be nearer to our Lord. So we need to be carried. And this is what God said. I carried you as a man carries a son. That's amazing. And in verse 4, back in Isaiah chapter 46, that carrying begins before our birth. God carries us through birth. Doesn't end there after we get into this world. He continues to carry us all the way till when? Till the gray hairs show up. And for some of us, that's happening a whole lot sooner than we wish. And yet the Lord God Almighty says, I will carry you until the end. Look at verse 4. Even to your old age I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and I will save. Throughout every experience of life, God is saying, I'm carrying you. And not only has I've made you, I've created you, I've formed you, I will carry you all the days of your life, I will carry you to the gray hairs, but the last sentence, what? I will save. God not only carries our bodies through this world by sustaining and supporting us, he says, I will save your soul. I will carry you into eternity. And that's why Jesus came. God sent his son so that we might enjoy that freedom and that blessing of being with him in all of eternity. That is the Lord Jesus who loves us. And that's what Paul was talking about. God who gave himself for me. Paul says that, me, personally. Can you say that? Can you rejoice in the fact, knowing Jesus died for me? Put your name there and say, God died for me. Jesus died for me. He is our salvation. If we put our faith and hope in him, he will carry us. All we have to do is look to him in faith. Just look to him like a little son who looks to his father, or a little daughter who looks to the father in that moment of need. Parents, you know the look on the face, don't you? This is a time I need help. You've seen that face. Does the Lord God not see our hearts when we look to him in faith? When we cry out and reach out for him and say, will you help me, please? Our God can hear our prayers. And so we see that Lord works very diligently to create life. He forms us. He shapes us in every way, all the way through birth. He carries us through delivery and carries us into our days. And this day is a special day. Today is the National Sanctity of Human Life Day, a day that was set aside in order to praise God for the gift of life. The annual remembrance of this day came about through the work of the former Surgeon General C. Everett Koop and Francis Schaeffer. Many of you will recognize his name, in cooperation with a scholar, Harold Brown. Harold Brown, in 1983, approached Ronald Reagan and asked that there could be a day that would be set aside to focus on, in his words, the intrinsic value of human life and the fundamental right to life as recognized by the American founding fathers. And so Reagan agreed, and in 1984, he established a day that would be set aside for this very purpose. It was chosen to be remembered at this particular time of the year, the Sunday that is closest to the anniversary of Roe v. Wade on January 22nd. And so we always recognize and remember that day, that Sunday that's closest to that anniversary date, and that would be today. But I just want to read in closing, I would like to read to you the presidential proclamation that President Reagan wrote, just to look for the clues and the hints of some of the things that we have spoken of already. I know it's kind of lengthy, and I usually don't read long texts, but I was blessed by reading it, and I thought that we might just think and ponder what would encourage a president to set this kind of precedent, to establish one day every year to remember the blessing of life. So I'm just going to read it, and would you please follow along? The values and freedoms we cherish as Americans rest on our fundamental commitment to the sanctity of human life. The first of these unalienable rights, affirmed by our Declaration of Independence, is the right to life itself. A right, the Declaration states, has been endowed by our Creator on all human beings, whether young or old, weak or strong, healthy or handicapped. Since 1973, more than 15 million unborn children have died in legalized abortions. A tragedy of stunning dimensions that stands in sad contrast to our belief that each life is sacred. These children, over tenfold the number of Americans lost in our nation's wars, will never laugh, never sing, never experience the joy of human love, nor will they strive to heal the sick or feed the poor or make peace among nations. Abortion has denied them the first and most basic of human rights, and we are infinitely poorer for the loss. We are poorer not simply for the lives not fed or contributions not made, but also for the erosion of our sense of worth and dignity of every individual. To diminish the value of one category of human life is to diminish us all. Slavery, which treated blacks as something less than human, to be bought and sold if convenient, cheapened human life and mocked our dedication to the freedom and equality of all men and women. Can we say that abortion, which treats the unborn as something less than human, to be destroyed if convenient, will be less corrosive to these values we hold dear? We have been given the precious gift of human life, made more precious still by our births and our pilgrimages to the land of our freedom. It is fitting, then, on the anniversary of the September court decision of Roe v. Wade that struck down state anti-abortion laws, that we reflect anew on those blessings and on our corresponding responsibility to guard with care the lives and freedoms of even the weakest of our fellow human beings. Now, therefore, I, Ronald Reagan, President of the United States of America, do hereby proclaim Sunday, January 22, 1984, as National Sanctity of Human Life Day. I call upon citizens of this blessed land to gather on that day in homes and places of worship to give thanks for the gift of life and to reaffirm our commitment to the dignity of every human being and the sanctity of each human life. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand this 13th day of January in the year of our Lord, 1984, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 208th, Ronald Reagan. He was writing in 1984. Since 1973, more than 50 million babies have been killed. It's about an average of 1.2 million per year. If we were to divide that out, that means that about 3,000 babies are murdered each day in this country. That's about the number of people who were killed on September 11th. We went to war over those 3,000 lives lost. And we're still at war 9 years later. And yet every day, 3,000 children lose their lives. And there's no war. Only if we talk about removing the freedom to kill those children is there ever a battle. And I sat and I thought and I asked myself, that fact doesn't strike me nearly as deeply as I wish it would. I rarely even think about abortion. And I repent of that. So I think it's fitting that we pause today and think. It's an uncomfortable topic, I know. And ladies, many of you have been touched by this, I know. I have close friends who have had abortions. So I understand the pain. I understand the grief. There is forgiveness. There is healing. And there are ladies in this church who would love to speak with you if you find yourself in this place and you need someone to talk to. And we would gladly help you. So it's fitting that we stop today and praise God for life. So I've asked Darren and Susan McFarland to come help us in praising God for life. And I think Darren will come. And after Darren comes, Elaine Russo, if she is here, I haven't seen her yet, from Daybreak Crisis Pregnancy Intervention Center, is maybe she hasn't made it. Okay. She won't follow you, Darren.